the meeting to order if board members are okay at 5:49. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. All right. The first on the agenda is an approval of November 23rd board meeting. And board members, I'm just going to go through the agenda, if that's okay with board members, unless another board member wants to facilitate.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine with me.
Okay. So just an approval of November of tonight's board agenda. I just need a first.
So moved.
Carla, I have a first. Dixie, a second. So I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Going to the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
I don't know.
Yes. Okay. I was going to ask you, Denise, if you can talk.
Yes, finally.
Motion passes 3 votes in favor. Where was I? Process. I'm so sorry. All right. I'm going to move on to public comment.
Nobody from San Bernardino.
Kitties? Doggies?
Yeah, nobody here right now. So.
Oh. Okay. Hearing none, no one from El Centro either. I'm going to move on to agenda action items. We need to ratify an approval of Ms. Villalobos' leave of absence. Do I have a first?
I'll move, Dixie.
Dixie, and do I have a second?
Carla, second.
Carla, I have a first and a second. Any discussion?
Nope.
Hearing none, I'll do a roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. So I have on the agenda, which you have already approved these. This was basically part of our earlier discussion when Mr. Ledoux noted our minutes that we did not have a quorum at our October 19 meeting, I believe. So in order to cure that, because we went ahead with the meeting and we voted and we discussed, in order to cure that, we need to essentially bring back all of those items to this board this evening, and you would ratify all of those items now that we do have a quorum. So that is why you're seeing once again the minutes of September 28 and October 5, a ratification of our ability to go into a virtual meeting in October, and a ratification of Crystal Valdez's board member resignation. Again, it was because we didn't have a quorum, and the only way to cure that is to bring it back to a meeting with a quorum. So okay. it's redundant.
I have one.
I'm sorry.
My name on the, that was so sweet. You wished me a happy birthday, but.
Did I miss it?
I have now become the sister of someone.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I will make a correction. This is good. This is added to myself. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you. No, thank you for bringing it out. I will make that change.
I just noticed.
Oh, I see it.
Wow. My goodness. So sorry.
I think it's Lily. It was supposed to be Grim. Thank you.
No, happy birthday. Happy birthday. I will make that change. See, it's good we brought it back, right?
Okay.
So Denise, were you going to say something? I just saw her box light up. That's why. Probably not. So do I have a motion to ratify the minutes on September 28 and October 5 with that additional change of Miss Dixie's name to Dixie Krim versus Dixie Garcia?
I shall move.
Yeah, thank you. So do I have a second?
Second, Carla.
I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
And Denise? Did we lose her?
I thought I saw Lily join for a second again, but she's gone now.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm Denise, I'm here. I was trying to log off on my cell phone and log on, and then I had echo, and so I'm
it was you on twice. My home I thought it was Lily.
Yes, I'm on my home computer now, and I can hear, and it's great, and it's wonderful, not my cell phone, so yes.
Thank you. So roll call votes, motion passes with 3 roll call votes. A ratification of our resolution of our virtual meeting for October. And that again is in compliance with the new law that we have to declare a national emergency to be able to continue to do virtual meetings. Do I have a first to ratify that?
I'll move. Ratify it. Dixie.
Second. Carla, did you?
I'll second.
Oh, Denise. Okay, I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. The next one is ratification of Crystal Valdez's board member's resignation. Do I have a motion to approve that?
So moved, Dixie.
A second.
Carla, second.
I'll second.
Oh. Carla. Okay. So I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Okay. Moving right into roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yep.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes with 3 roll call votes. Thank you. So now we're into no longer ratifying. We've cured our dilemma of not having our quorum for that one meeting. So now we're going to move into our approval of our November 2nd, 2021 board minutes.
So move.
Dixie, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Denise? So I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? I'll just go for the roll call vote then. Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Next is approval of our board officer slate that we talked about at our last meeting, essentially maintaining our current structure going into this next year. And we usually start the transition in January. So effective January, we will stay the same, essentially. Do I have a motion to approve the board officer slate?
I move, Dixie.
Dixie, and do I have a second?
Second,
I'll second.
Okay. I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
And motion passes with 3 roll call votes.
Did we do the virtual meeting in November?
Oh my gosh, I didn't. Look, I'm sorry. Thank you. Let me go back. That one's an important one too. We have to, in line with the new law, we have to basically declare an emergency to be able to continue to meet virtually every month. So board members, I did with this one, initially I had used a resolution template recommended by an attorney. They just had it on their website. I looked at Mr. Ledoux's, the El Centro Elementary School's authorizer one, and it was a lot shorter. So I just basically used Mr. Ledoux's resolution for approval for the November meeting, just because his was like a page and a half and ours was a lot longer. So I figured if it worked for him, then he couldn't argue with us at this, you know, it would be acceptable for us as well. Do I have a motion to approve our virtual meeting for November?
So move, Carla.
Carla, do I have a second?
I'll second, Dixie.
I'll second.
I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Okay, I'll do a roll call vote. Carla?
Yep.
Denise?
Yes.
And Dixie?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. We're now next, we're on to the approval of the first interim 2021 to 2022 for San Bernardino. Essentially for San Bernardino, some of the adjustments that we had made based upon our budget was we adjusted the enrollment down to where we are actual. San Bernardino, unlike El Centro, is running very close to their projected or budgeted enrollment. So that was one adjustment we did make. We also allowed for adding our ESSER III funding into this grant, not into the grant, into the first interim, which really in San Bernardino's case helped us financially mitigate the loss of some of the enrollment and as well as ADA. We also, at this point, my back office allowed us to recognize the SB CARES funding. Remember, that was $280,000 from last year, where they booked all the expenses, but they wouldn't allow us to recognize the revenue. So this year, after going back and forth with them talking to actually the county, they have permitted us to recognize it in this year. So that also was a difference in the budget, but that also helped us out as well, because that was $280,000 and ESSER was $482,000. Much like with some of our ADA, the reduction in our ADA, as well as slight reduction in our enrollment, some of the other sources, such as our facility grant, also gets adjusted based on our new numbers. However, again, the realization of the SB CARES and ESSER III allows San Bernardino to mitigate some of those losses. Expenses are based on actuals. If we maintain our course, San Bernardino, as you recall, came in with a huge debt. We were able to mitigate some of that this last year. And if we maintain our current course, we'll be able to mitigate a good portion of that this year as well. Even though with these additional funding sources, I still believe we need to be very prudent in our expenditures and track very, very closely, because the volatility of the ADA at this point, as well as any additional unknown expenses that we're not even aware of. The school district did make a note that we had ended negatively, you know, a couple years ago. So we didn't meet their required 5% reserve. So this last year, they stated it that we're looking favorable, because although we're not meeting our 5% reserve, we're on track. We're making a positive dent and difference. So I just want to continue that. So with that, really just watching the expenses very closely.
So on the second page down at the bottom, where you say it's not met in red, is that what you just explained?
Yes, they want us to have 5% contingency, and we're not at that amount this year. I think it's 3.8%. So yeah. It will trigger us to have a red.
So what does that mean?
So that requires us to write a narrative to San Bernardino, the authorizer, stating how we will go in the future, or what is our plan to get us to a 5% contingency fund. And last year that we wrote a plan and we demonstrated, yes, we had a huge amount of debt this year, but look, we're still ending in a debt. At the same time, we've taken it down by 75%. So we are moving in a positive trend for addressing our shortfall. So that will be something that we will have to write and demonstrate to them. Continuing along this trend, we anticipate having our 5% reserve met next year. And that shows that there.
And not entirely relevant to this, but interesting. The 5% is a San Bernardino request. The legal requirement, unless it's changed, the legal requirement is 3%. So we have met the legal requirement. So I think that's a plus, considering the amount of debt from a couple of years ago.
Okay. Well, the state funding, it looks like California has a lot of money and hopefully schools getting a little bit more. Do you think we're going to get some of that money, Doreen?
I do. A lot of the, I'll kind of address it. I think there a lot of planning for next year as far as the COLA. They're anticipating a larger COLA to be given next year. A lot of the other funding is one-time funding that you, for example, an after-school care program that if you meet a certain percentage of free reduced, which both of our schools do, you can apply for that funding and then you would design a program around that. Shannon and Bill are going to talk, I think, on the 29th about if we want to do that. There's we just want to be very intentional. If we accepted some of the criteria are you have to offer 9 hours of instruction every day. I think we're almost there, but just I want us to all be you know, in agreement that yes, by accepting these additional dollars, we're going to be able to meet the requirements of that. And that those funds are not in the first interim at this point.
Good. So hopefully that'll help that with a deficit, huh?
Yes. And anything we can do with, you know, the spending, the tighter spending we can do, and any additional grant sources. I know this is not a lot, but I know every little bit helps. Shannon just wrote another grant to Volunteers of America to help support a backpack program. So that could help a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, but anything we can do like that to help us as well. Because okay. I feel like we're close, you know, we're 1.2% mm-hmm. away.
And just to clarify, any grants that either Doreen or I apply for, it wouldn't be for, what we're looking for is not new purchases, but rather to support what's already in the works or in the plans for the remainder of the school year.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any more questions.
Thank you, Carla. Do any other questions from the board members? Hearing none,
I have none.
May I have a motion to approve San Bernardino's first interim?
Make a motion to approval of the first interim 21-22.
I'll second, Dixie.
I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Thank you. Next, this is just the standard one that I always bring before you in December and June. And that's just an approval to be able to submit our consolidated application. And our consolidated application is access to federal funding. So I just need a board approval that we can apply for title funding, Title I, Title IV funding, and Title II. It doesn't make up a lot of our budget, but it helps.
I'll move, Dixie.
I have a first. I have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
And Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. So the next one was what I alluded to at the beginning of the board meeting. There is an emphasis on really making sure we have quorum and not in a clarification for me was I thought that we could still continue the meeting even if we didn't have quorum. We just couldn't vote. We just couldn't, you know, take any action. Unfortunately, that's not the case. If we do not have quorum, we essentially have to cancel the meeting altogether. So that said, I know sometimes, our start time is at 5:30. Ultimately, I wanted to bring it to the board members to see if there was and I didn't know how else to call it, but a delay start time, I guess, essentially, how long should we wait before we say, okay, no quorum, let's cancel, assuming a board member hasn't called in and said, you know, give me till 6 o'clock, and then I could share that with the board. But if that's not the case, I'm just wondering, I know like professors, I use the example of, you know, if they didn't come within 15 minutes, the students could leave and the students wouldn't get in trouble. So that's kind of what I wanted to bring to you. And then I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. If you wanted to establish a time, like we wait X amount of minutes before calling it, or if we don't need to be so formalized.
Well, I think 15 minutes sounds good.
I agree. I need that 15 minutes.
So should we say that that we will allow the 15 minutes and then say at 5:45, if there's not quorum, then we will call it as a cancellation.
Yes. So we need a motion for that?
Need a motion, yes.
So moved.
Okay, Carla, I have a first. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Denise? I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll do roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
And Dixie?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Thank you. The next one is I'm going to ask if we could meet in December and have a special meeting in December for 2 purposes. They issued an opportunity for one-time funding. Part of this one-time funding is we have to do a plan, and it is on your board agenda. But the trick is we have to have, it's the Educator Effectiveness Block Grant Program plan. We have to do a public hearing where we just present, and then we have to have another board meeting where we actually vote on it, and it's due in December. So that was why I was hoping for a December board meeting. The other thing is to bring forward the El Centro first interim report as well. So I wanted to see if potentially we could do a December board meeting. I know we were going dark
What date are you thinking about?
If I can jump to like the board training dates, and I only share this now because I'm wondering if we want to time it with the board training dates. It would have to, if we decided to do the board training, it would have to happen by the 14th. I didn't know if you wanted to do like a short meeting before and then go into board training, or if to do board training all separately, because it will be a long time on that training and intense. It's on the Brown Act, which is oh so interesting. So and timely, I guess, right? Now we'll know about quorums and all. So I didn't know, board members, if you wanted to just do like a brief board meeting to approve those two items, perhaps on like December 7, and then choose another date for board training.
We have the conference on the 7th.
Oh yes, thank you. That's right. So we don't want to meet on that day. Perhaps the 8th for a board meeting, a short board meeting, and then think about another day for training, or wrap them all up into one. It'll just make for, I believe, a long time, like probably a 2.5 hours.
I'm open on the 8th. That's fine.
What time?
Do we want to start at 5:30?
I'm good.
I'm unavailable on the 8th. I have council on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Thursday?
Thursday's good.
Thursday works for me.
Works for me.
Let me see if the attorney is available on that Thursday. To see if he can make that work. So it looks like 12:09.
Yep.
Okay. And it sounds like we want to do board training and just a quick board meeting.
I'm good with that.
Okay. I honestly, unless there's something significantly off with El Centro's first interims, I'm hopeful that it doesn't take a long time. So I will see if he can do 12:09, and then should we start at 5:30?
That's fine.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So can I have a motion to approve the addition of the December board meeting or special meeting?
Make a motion to make a December special meeting on 12:09 at 5:30.
I will second that motion.
Thank you. I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, I'll do roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Thank you. So now we've concluded the formal agenda action items, and we're moving into our information items. First item is public hearing for our educator effectiveness block grant program. As I mentioned, this is a grant that is specifically to support education teacher capacity. I'll frame it like that, whether it is allowing them to receive their induction or their BITSA training. I call it BITSA, but I believe it has since been called induction, but it is the training that new teachers are required to take. It could be other types of professional development. Essentially, its primary purpose is to support the effectiveness and professional development of teachers. Each school is allotted an amount. El Centro is allotted $60,395. San Bernardino was allotted $31,405. And it's based on, I believe, their ADA. That's how they determine that, or number of teachers, actually, I think, for this one. It requires us to develop a plan primarily for both El Centro and San Bernardino. We really looked at allocating across multiple years, because we can spend the dollars across many, many years. We looked at really allocating the majority of the funding to teacher induction, because that's always something that's very critical for new teachers to be able to complete. And then in El Centro's case, because he actually has a little bit of additional dollars, we looked at just building on his professional learning community and all of the different techniques that they're currently learning in the area of language arts and literacy development for the additional money. So very similar plans, both in El Centro and San Bernardino. The majority of funding we're earmarking for teacher induction, or as I old school call it, BITSA, as well as, and then in Mr. Anderson's case, adding some additional dollars for him to continue his professional learning communities with his teachers.
So where's this block grant coming from?
It's coming from the California Department of Education. It was part of their additional funding that they're rolling out, and they're doing it as one-time funding.
Thank you.
You're welcome. They had given us, a couple years ago, they gave us additional dollars for educators, professional development. And I know we designed it so that we would help support the teachers in induction back then too. Interestingly enough, they had a window in San Bernardino, since they opened in 2016, was not eligible for it. They closed the door, I guess, as of. So at that point, San Bernardino could not get it. But in this case, we are able to access it for both schools. And so this is, we're not to take any action on it. It is just basically to present the report. And any questions? And it will come back again in December.
Well, it's good to get some extra money to help the teachers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's honestly coming out of the, you know, there's such a teacher shortage at this point. So I believe that it's really coming as a catalyst for that. I do know that the state is putting a lot of dollars into credentialing and supporting teachers to get credentials. So I think this is kind of a part of it. We'll move on to principal's report. I know Ms. Shannon had to step away, so I'll report out for Mr. Anderson at this point. I think it has been just an extremely busy time for Mr. Anderson, I think, and Shannon will attest to this. They have been very closely working on looking at their MAP data and their NWA data, primarily twofold because of our change in personnel. So that allowed us to determine, you know, how to split the classes based on student needs, as well as this ensure that the students are getting the appropriate interventions that they need. They're continuing. I know he's continuing to work with Solution Tree that help the teachers, again, back to that teacher professional development of, you know, making sure that they're building their skills to be able to then work with students. just a very, very busy time at El Centro. Again, and I can get into more about it in closed session, but they've had some staffing changes there, which has kept them redesigning and on their toes a little bit. Any questions? I do want to note that El Centro enrollment is at this point 208. So we are still continuing to see a lower enrollment than budgeted. So I think we had to make that decision, and I think we made the good decision.
Yeah, I'm actually quite worried about that low enrollment number. So I guess we'll see that when we get into closed session, how that's going.
And I was reflecting on it too, Carla. We're almost at San Bernardino's enrollment.
Yeah.
That hit me, was like, wow, San Bernardino is neck and neck. And, you know, San Bernardino is always our smaller school, and we couldn't do anything because we were essentially building landlocked. We couldn't add more classes. So we knew we would always be capped unless we moved, but we're almost down to that enrollment at San Bernardino. So they're neck and neck as far as budgets go too.
Good job, Shannon.
Thank you. But I would hesitate to make any huge decisions right now, because we've seen across the board, district schools, private schools, charter schools, everybody's under enrolled because so many are hesitant to come back. I don't think this is a really good time to make hugely impactful decisions.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to weigh what to do, and money talks. You know, if the money is not there, you have to do something.
Yeah, you got to react before. Ms. Shannon, do you want to go ahead and give your report?
Sure. I'm sorry I had to step away for a minute.
That's okay. I, of course, you know, Mr. Anderson gives, I don't give his report justice. He gives you so much more information than I do.
So while we're pulling up my report, Joseph, that's El Centro. If you could go to San Bernardino, please. But I do want to share with the board and Ms. Doreen about an event that I was just so lucky. It just came together. We have a young man who should have been evaluated for a learning disability almost 2 years ago, and he was on the list. And then everything shut down and San Bernardino wouldn't test virtually. So when we opened up again, he was the very first one to be tested, and he did qualify for special education. And during the process, I've always known that he's loved football, but he expressed that his dream was to go to UCLA and be a football player there. And we were talking about, just he and I were talking about it, and he told me some of his favorite players, and I recognized one name because there was a UCLA football player that actually got injured and he needed to change his career focus. But I was his fifth grade teacher about 20 years ago. And this little guy knew the player's name and got very excited. So I reached out to my former student, and he came to campus and socially distanced and made sure he was vaccinated. But he talked to the kids about stamina and not giving up and how he had earned the free ride and what that took. I'm sorry, full ride, not free ride. And what that took, and then what happened after he got injured. And then he went outside and played with him for about an hour and tossed the football. He signed footballs. He took pictures. It was really an amazing, amazing afternoon because these kids listened to him in a way that they just don't listen to their teachers. So it was really, really wonderful.
Wow, it's amazing.
I wanted to share that. And I didn't realize, because I'm not a sports person, but apparently he's a pretty big name in college football. So Yeah, I was pretty proud of him. And then I admit I did get a little emotional. Because he's like, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5", this big bulking guy, but he has the same face. So I still saw this little scrawny 10-year-old playing with my current scrawny 10-year-olds. And I don't know, it just all came full circle and I got a little emotional. So there was that. But going to the report, we are still very much focusing on the standards-based instruction. We've actually put, I don't want to say stopped, but we've kind of put some of the projects and things like that on hold until we can get everybody back where they need to be. There's a very, very strong focus for rigorous instruction and making sure everybody's engaged and monitoring individual student progress, as well as correlating that to absences. And it's a daunting task. We have one little guy. When he's here, he makes just such progress and progress and progress, but he gets sick so easily. And, you know, he has a day of coughing or sniffling and he's out for another 10 days. And that I'm realizing as we're getting more into the depth of the school year, that's the biggest struggle, is being able to capture the academic growth of those kids who are out so much because of COVID symptoms or, you know, other reasons. But that is our big focus. That is what every staff meeting is about. That's what the entirety of the interventionist, that's what her work is about, is identifying those students that at this point maybe aren't necessarily performing the lowest, but her focus is on the ones that aren't showing any growth. Because even if somebody is performing really, really low, if they're showing growth, that means they have that capacity to continue at that high achievement. So the interventionist's focus is really on those who are not showing that capacity or not showing that growth, determining why and giving them some more intensive instruction. We are still, you know, we're still in the implementation phase of our new curriculum. And we know that comes with a few bumps and bruises. We're really struggling with training because the company just does not have trainers available. So we're relying a lot on other professionals that we find through social media and other schools and things like that. But I am happy to say that our SEL curriculum that we implemented, it's the same one that Mr. Anderson has been using for a couple of years, in conjunction with the on-site groups that South Coast is doing, we are not seeing the behaviors that we've seen in the past or that other schools are seeing. Like, I know that we've all seen in the news and social media some of the behaviors that we're seeing in elementary schools, and it's one of the reasons teachers are fleeing the profession. We're not seeing it. We've had students articulate their strategy. I wanted to just hug this little guy. He's always had trouble. He gets stressed out, he gets upset, and then he acts out. And he came to my office and said, I need a break. I said, okay, great, come on in. And he started playing and he pulls out of his back pocket a list. And he goes, these are my lists of strategies of what to do when I get stressed out. I'm going to do this one today. And he chose one off the list. And it's really wonderful to see those things working. And the staff and I were mentioning that although it is a very stressful year, we're not seeing the explosive behaviors that some of the other schools are seeing. And we attribute it to our very small environment. I know Doreen was mentioning how small we are compared to what El Centro was a couple of years back, but I think that is very much going in our favor this year because we're able to avoid some of those behaviors. And then, as I mentioned last time, we are not yet using the new curriculum in our kindergarten and first grade class. Because that new curriculum did assume a foundational knowledge of sounds, you know, connecting sounds to that symbol we see on the piece of paper that's a letter. And we realized our kindergartners and first graders don't have that skill. So we brought in a different curriculum called Zoophonics, which utilizes both the left and the right brain through sound, song and movement while they're learning those sounds. And if you ever need your heart lifted, go into a kindergarten classroom that's doing the Zoophonic sound. the song. It's just, it's phenomenal. And they get so excited and they're doing their dance. They're doing their animal movements. It's Allie Alligator. And they do their arms like an alligator. And it's very, very uplifting. And we're seeing through the data that our interventionist is keeping, we're seeing some dramatic improvement in like our dibbles and things like that. So again, that's our laser focus this year is those academics, just going through and going through and going through and repeating and repeating and repeating until we get that foundation back and then growing from there.
I think it's helpful to small class sizes. I think that also is a big
component. It's huge. Yeah, it's huge. You know, and I know our teachers, one of our greatest attributes at San Bernardino is the ability to build relationships. And that's serving us very, very well this year. You know, we only have one new teacher, and she was a student teacher with us last year during remote learning. So the students already knew her. And when a teacher is able to build that relationship, the students trust a little bit more. And so they're willing to take that risk of trying something they might not know. We're seeing the biggest growth, you know, and we're mostly focusing on literacy. So when I say growth, I'm speaking of literacy. The biggest growth we saw was in fifth grade. And that's a class that only has 15 students. So that's something we mentioned last time too, is we know it's small. We know that's where our enrollment gap is, but that's sort of a silver lining, is that that's such an important testing year and it's such an important developmental year for the students as we get them ready for middle school. So it's a blessing for them that they're able to have that super small, super intensive environment where they can really trust each other and lean on each other to increase their literacy growth. Oh, and South Coast. I do want to follow up with South Coast. The county, I'm still not quite sure what happened. I was a little bit blindsided. The county has said that the contract for mental health services that come directly from schools, if it's in the city of San Bernardino, regardless of where the students live, if the school is in San Bernardino, it's supposed to go through a different agency, which is Victor Support Services. And so we had a meeting with the county today, and we pointed out we've been using South Coast for 5 years. This guy is embedded into our culture. And they're like, oh, well, we have to figure that out. So that I'm a little bit nervous about, because I don't want to cut that off when the students have built the trust with this guy. So we'll see where that goes. But I saw social emotional health and the partnership with South Coast, and I realize that's something that the board should probably be aware of.
Yeah, I wonder if they just redesigned, you know, they probably contract is my guess, and I'm wondering if they just redesigned the agencies, and there's significant shortage, I know.
Every agency has a contract with the county to provide these services, these school-based services for students that are on Medi-Cal. The person who's in charge of contracts said that she wasn't aware of it. She wasn't aware that we were using South Coast. And I'm generally a trusting person, but I struggled with that statement. So I'm not quite sure what happened. I have some suspicions that I won't verbalize, but we're trying to work through it.
I think, you know, and this is just, one of your previous staff, I think, had a really strong relationship with South Coast. So that could have been, you know, relationship to relationship.
Could have been.
You know, which could have.
Is there any other area that the board would like me to expand on at all? Or are there any questions?
No, but I just want to say that you're doing great things. It sounds really great.
I hope so. Thank you. I do appreciate hearing that. And it's hard. I posted it. I'm on an administrators group on Facebook, and I posted it, you know, what's going on? They didn't make the growth we're looking for. We've done this and this and this, and we're supporting them. And everyone came back with, oh my gosh, it's only been 3 months. Take a breath. It's going to happen. And everyone just said, stay the course. That was their best advice. Stay the course. And it is, you know, when you don't see the outcomes, when you put so much of yourself into a project and you don't see the outcomes that you're looking for, sometimes it's hard to stay the course. So it's good to hear that from other people going through it.
And you want to change. I think sometimes you want to immediately
change
your intervention right away, right?
Yeah, this isn't working. Let's fix it.
When in reality, it might have just not had enough time in their
kitchen.
I mean, you've got students out and then they're back and then they're out and then they're back. So it definitely.
Yes.
And then this whole social emotional health is huge.
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 It's absolutely huge. And I'll admit one of my weakest areas is patience, you know, and I recognize that I'm a horribly impatient person. So I have to make a very conscious decision that I need to wait. I need to just keep doing what I'm doing because I know we have the right program in place. I know we're using the right strategies. I have to find it in myself to just wait and see the result. I'm not taking the cupcakes out of the oven too soon. I can't.
And that's something that's super hard, Shannon. I also commiserate. I'm probably the same way. You know, it's okay. I've reviewed it. Oh, it's not working. I've got to get in there and tinker. I've got to go in there and change instead of just like take a deep breath back and reflect a little bit.
But I think that we're doing a great job of making sure we're taking care of their social, emotional health, their mental health, their physical health, you know, looking at it at a holistic approach for both the students and the teachers. You know, teachers are very, very overwhelmed this year as well. So if we look at it from so many different angles and make sure all those angles are being addressed, I think Doreen's right. We take a breath and we know that we're doing the right thing. We just have to wait for the outcome.
Yeah, I would imagine in the education setting, it takes a lot of patience to go through everything.
This year in particular. Because I know Doreen is like me in this way of, you know, you have something in your head of what you want. Now. I want it to happen now. Let's do it now.
And you struggle with it being a reflection on you're not moving fast enough, right? You're not the competency where, you know, where things sometimes have processes and all in good time.
And, you know, my whole career, people have said, don't take it personally. And I've always disagreed with that because this is a very personal industry. You know, there's so much of our own heart and soul in these kids and in
I remember, Carla, you might remember this too, when we first started charters, Gerald, he's like, okay, we're going to make some academic goals. At the end of this year, I want 95% of the kids proficient. So you guys go about it. Tell me how you're going to do it. He didn't, you know, I'm shortening it, but you know, for the most part, that was the expectation, between 90 and 95. Remember, Carla? Well, yep. things did not land that way at all. So it was this whole education process of, you know, it really is about growth. It's really about, realistic expectations. It's about looking at where the students are when they come into us, and we can't move, you know, if a student's in fifth grade scoring at, you know, a first grade, we can't move them that fast in 9 months. It takes time, and slowly but surely, I think Gerald even he became our greatest advocate actually when we went up against I think a Neighborhood House, a local San Diego community, where they were like, we were looking at your test scores and, you know, and we're not feeling they're moving as fast. And Gerald was like, well, wait a minute, You know, that this takes time, and you know, we're not going to have 95% proficiency overnight. So definitely was a huge learning experience for us. And I remember sitting in a room with both Gerald and Marie, just like trying to show, you know, guys, we're not going to be at 95, no matter what we do. You know, you could get a whole new set of educators in there. It's just not, it takes time. It just takes time.
Completely went out. So I'm on my phone. But I'm here, and I apologize. I know I went off on a tangent, but board members, are there any questions I can answer or things I can expand on?
No, you did good.
That said, I will, if it pleases the board, I believe we talked about the board training dates. I incorporated it a little bit into the December additional meeting, basically just select a date for the Brown Act. That said, if I may, I can pull us into closed session.
Okay.
Okay. We'll go into closed session officially at 6:44 p.m. And now we can stop recording.
Doreen, am I supposed to be here for closed session, or am I supposed to leave?